welcome, everyone. This is Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries, welcoming you to another Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I am joined in studio by Nan Watson.
Hey, hi, Nan. Pastor.
Hey.
Hi.
And on by telephone with Nathan Burton. Where are you out there, Nathan?
I'm right here.
Hey, praise God. We just want to welcome everybody. This is one of our busy days. And we had our nursing home ministry today, which went very, very well. It's always so wonderful to reach out to the folks in the nursing home up at Palm Garden and just be able to minister into their lives. And whether they know it or not, they minister into our lives as well.
You know, I want to say something about that. You know, that last lady who came in the wheelchair, who apparently has had strokes or something going on, and she was the one that touched Pastor Marcia and I so much the last time. I don't recall if you were there or not, but she was sitting there, you know, her withered little hands, best she could do, praising the Lord and singing the songs the best she could do. And I just cried and had to, I couldn't even greet anybody. I had to leave. But it was awesome to have our little visitor come back.
Yes, it was. I was glad to be there. And as you can see, it's me leading today. Pastor Marcia is up in Indiana. Her granddaughter graduated from high school, and so she's up there visiting. So she'll be back with us later on this week. And so we're just praying for safe travel for her and for, we have a few others that are out traveling, Connie and a few others. So we're just believing for safe travel for all of them also. But we want to welcome you again to Living the Good Life. We've been studying, as you know, if you've been listening to the programs, the book of Ephesians for the last, many weeks. It's a book that is just full of just really good practical advice. We've talked about kind of the progression in Ephesians, and, you know, I know Pastor's going to bring some more nuggets out of it before we're finished. But I wanted today, what I'd like to do today would be talk about three great prayers of the Apostle Paul that are in the book of Ephesians. In the first chapter, he starts off with a prayer of thanksgiving. Then he follows that up with his first prayer for the church in Ephesus. And then in chapter 3, he does a second prayer for the believers in Ephesus. And what I found is, these verses are so full of things that we have, things that we are, things that God has given us. And also, the prayers themselves make wonderful prayers to pray on a daily basis. I remember I read a book by, I believe it was Kenneth Hagin, and he talked about putting these prayers and reading these prayers every day. And it's great, because especially if, you know, like me, you tend to pray early in the morning, you may not always be thinking clearly at that hour. Nathan, Nan, want to jump in? Agree? Disagree with that?
No, I agree with that.
if your schedule permits and you're able to be disciplined enough to be able to get up early in the morning, Jesus went early into the morning when he would go places, you know, to pray. To separate himself apart from his disciples and pray individually, just him and his, you know, spend time with his Father, you know. And I mean, I don't get up in the morning and do that. I barely get up in time to go dashing in my office because I start so early, and I need to work on that, because that when I used to have a different schedule, I was able to do that, and it was very, very rewarding to start your day like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I found is if I have printed prayers in front of me, and I know you've heard us talk a lot about using prayers that avail much. We use that a lot at Beacon of Hope, a book that, you know, there's different prayers for different issues, but it's all drawn from Scripture, and it's very, very good. And that's why, you know, what I did actually personally was I took these prayers in Ephesians, some from Colossians, Philippians, some from the Psalms, and just type them out into one big long prayer. Mm-hmm. It's easy because I can just, you know, I can just read it and I can focus on that. And as something like by saying for early morning, that does help me to focus. But the prayers as we get into these, which we will be shortly, they're just so good. Mm-hmm. There's so much richness.
They're power-packed.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They are definitely power-packed. And, you know, it's, you know, we think sometimes we're paupers in Jesus. You know, we think, oh, I got to be poor for Christ. You know, I've got to be spirit, you know, I think we misunderstand what it means to be spiritually poor, because we tend to think of, you know, kind of almost that false humility. But, you know, these prayers are going to knock that right out of you, because these show us so much of what we have in Jesus.
I recall the days of in church, when I was in church, you know, well, at another time when I was in church at a different church, you know, that I heard that a lot, paupers for Jesus, and, mm-hmm. you know, and they missed the boat then.
Right, right.
They missed the boat.
Well, and I think some people think that's a good thing to, you know, to be that way, you know, because it sounds humble. You know, if I say, oh, I don't deserve anything from Jesus, and all, you know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You're more than that now.
Right.
If Jesus saved you, you're more than just an old sinner saved by grace. He's opened up an entire new world.
It's like they spend so much, and we're not bashing here, we're just discussing, but it sounds like maybe they spend so much time dwelling on that particular outlook of the Christian life that unfortunately many miss the boat of what is out there,
right.
What we have, what we're entitled to. You know, Pastor Marcia preaches about that all the time, teaches about that all the time. You know, what we have in Jesus.
Right, right. And it's important because we, you know, salvation obviously is the starting point. There's no way to get around that. I mean, that has to be our starting point, or everything else is useless. So, you know, it's important that we have that starting point, but we have to go on from there. We have to move ahead, because salvation is just the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, it just kind of jump starts into what your life is going to be able to be.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. So let's go into our first song, which talks about the foundation of our Christian walk, which is salvation, a song from Selah, Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
You offer hope when our hearts
Oh, I love that song. Oh, such a great song. And it does. It talks about the starting place in our Christian walk, which is knowing Jesus as Redeemer and Savior. But, you know, we start there, we build on that.
Yes.
And that's a great thing.
Well,
so
that's why we call it being born again.
Right, right. Because we get reborn as a child, and we got a whole lot of growing up to do.
A lot of growing up to do.
Yeah. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Yes, I know we've been in Ephesians all these many weeks, and we're backing up all the way to chapter 1. So, but, you know, Paul starts off this letter, and you know, if you've been coming to Bible study and Sunday morning service, you know what an incredible letter this is. And Paul starts this letter with some just incredible information. You know, he's writing to the Ephesians, and he's in prison when he's writing this. And this is so not I'm so sad, I'm in prison, look what they did to me for following Jesus sort of letter.
Or pitiful me.
Yeah.
It's not one of those.
Yeah, definitely not poor, poor, pitiful me. But he starts off in verse 3 with, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what a way to start off a letter. You know, the man's in prison, and he just starts off saying, you know what? Blessed be God. Blessed be God, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, we could just sit and talk about that verse for the remainder of the 2 hours, I think.
Yes, we could.
But look,
oh, my goodness.
I know. Look at that. Who has blessed us, you know, blessed us. That's past tense.
That's past tense.
Right.
He has blessed us. It's not something that we're looking forward to, but it's something that he's already done.
Right, exactly. It's not something that we have to work our way into. It's not something that we have to be good enough to access.
Yeah.
Paul just states a simple fact. He has blessed us, but here's the catch. In Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus, amen.
Okay? That's the catch. He blessed us in Christ. Some translations have in union with Christ, we're blessed, things like that. But what does it mean to be in Christ? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, I believe that we are, the moment that we receive Christ as our personal Savior, we are in Christ.
Exactly.
We are in Him then. But, you know, then we are taken into the Beloved, and we become a part of the body of Christ. We become a child of God. And we're taken in right then. We're
right.
In Christ.
We are in Christ, and we are in union with Christ. That's what that really means. We're kind of in union. So, yeah, you're right. When we become born again, we are placed in Christ. Okay? It's almost like, you know, sometimes we think of Christ coming into our lives. And that's true, because that's what he does. But it's almost like picture kind of an outline of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, we're inside of that.
Yes.
Okay? Kind of a picture of Jesus, and we're inside of that. Because that's what it means. Paul writes in Colossians, our true life is in heaven. Our life is hidden with Christ in God.
Right.
You know, exactly. we're hidden there. But I think a lot of people don't realize, you know.
A lot of people don't realize it. And the enemy knows it, and that's why he uses so many tactics against us, because we don't realize that we are in Christ. And in Christ, see, we're not touchable. He can't touch us.
Right.
But with us not realizing that, the battlefield is always there. The battlefield of the mind is always able to attack us in our mind.
Right. But we have to remember that
our mind's not made up that we're in Christ.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because if we're in Christ, it's almost, when you were talking, it came into my mind, like the Passover. Being in Christ puts us inside of a house with the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorposts.
Yeah.
You know, we've got that protection. That's a good picture of what it means. We're under the blood of the lamb. We are hidden in Christ. And here, you know, Paul says we're blessed with mediocre blessings, some blessings.
Not.
We're blessed with every spiritual blessing, not just some, not a few, not a bunch, but all. Every spiritual blessing is ours. So that means every blessing in the Bible is ours because we are in Christ. We are, you know, as being joined to Christ, being joined to Jesus, every blessing in the Bible is ours.
Yeah, every blessing that is Christ is ours.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, that's really a pretty cool way to put it. I guess I have never actually thought of it that way, believe it or not.
Yeah, that is cool. I mean, when you think about that.
Every blessing in the Bible is ours. I mean, that's pretty darn powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Every promise.
Mm. Every promise.
Remember, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians, every promise in Christ Jesus is yes, to which we add the amen.
Amen.
You know, we can, so that means, you know, we look at a promise, it's yes in Jesus.
Mm.
We can say amen. It's so. It is so in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That's pretty powerful.
Anybody getting blessed? This is great.
I mean, you can just stop right there and talk about that the rest of the 2 years. I mean, two hours.
I'm just thinking we're probably not even going to get out of the first chapter. So, but we'll see. But it's, you know, it's every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. So, you know, we used to sing a song a long time ago. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. Abraham's blessings are mine. I won't make our listeners suffer to any more of that. But
it was fine.
But, that's true. Even going back, the promises to Abraham, you know what? Those are ours too.
That's right.
You know, that's
well,
Nan's getting blessed over here.
I already have my son, so that was a blessing.
Oh.
He wanted a son, and he finally got one, so
well, remember,
I got mine.
the Lord told Abraham he'd make him the father of many nations.
I only want one. I'm a bit old now.
Nan only wants to be the mother of one nation.
Yeah.
But that's true. I mean, you know, those promises that God gave to Abraham, those are ours. The promises under every covenant, David's, Moses, those, you know, those are ours too, including all the promises under the new covenant.
Boy, we can read the Bible, Nathan, with a little bit additional enlightenment now that we've heard that statement.
Yes.
Well, seriously, I mean, you know, you read through,
You get excited about reading it.
Yes. Because you want to find out
about the promises. You know,
right.
The promises are
what's in there. What's in there for me?
All the promises are mine.
Yeah. What's in there for me? You know, that's what's cool. And I love, and I have to read verse 4 of Ephesians 1 out of the Amplified Bible. I love the way the Amplified puts this. Even as in his love, he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him.
Mm.
You know, I love that. You know, here's another thing we are in Christ. We're chosen, okay? How scary is that? To know that God chose us. And I love this in the Amplified. Actually picked us out for himself.
Right.
We're handpicked for Jesus.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. that just...
Mm-hmm.
That's great. It's like I see Jesus going, huh, I'll take this one and that one and that one. You know, I'll take Nan, I'll take Nathan, I'll take Jim. You know, he picked us out for himself.
Mm-hmm.
before the foundation of the world, he knew that we would respond to his call. He said, I'm picking them because they're going to respond to my call. And what did he do? Set us apart. You know, I think some versions probably say sanctified us.
Sanctified us.
And, you know, so, but that all that means is he chose us in Jesus, and he set us apart in Jesus. So what does it mean to be set apart? I mean, I think we know what it means to be chosen, and I love that. Again, I can't stress that enough. God chose you. He picked you out for himself. How incredible is that?
That's incredible.
Amen. He chose us and picked us out for himself. But he did it for a purpose, and that is so that we should be holy and blameless. We should be set apart before him.
And that we bring glory to his name.
Okay. I was just going to ask, you know, again, what does it mean to be set apart? What does that mean to you?
Well, I think part of that could be set apart. We're set apart from, quote, the world, unquote, you know, and that our behavior, the things that we do, maybe even the places we go, is different than someone who has not accepted Jesus as their Savior, who is not, you know. One thing I was thinking about a while ago also, you know, there's some people, they feel, as the pastor would say, less than, and they would feel that they don't deserve God in their life, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And Paul's kind of solves that problem right here. He chose us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know God has chosen you, that's a glory in the lifter of my head sort of statement, you know?
Oh, yes, it is.
Because I can, you know, I don't have to be beat down. I don't have to feel less than because God chose me.
That's right.
You know, God chose me. He picked me out for himself.
That is so powerful and so cool. You know, so mighty that he would do that. So mighty that he would do that to a little one like me. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's liberating.
It sets you free, doesn't it?
No, mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
It sets you free because you know that you are chosen by God to be in his service,
mm-hmm.
to be in his will. To be a servant unto him, to be someone that glorifies him, to be someone that can shine a light and point the way to others, so that others can see Christ. You know, to be set apart, to be sanctified, set apart
right.
by God.
Right, and set apart is not, it's set apart, not set of rules.
Oh, that's true.
You know, it's, we're set apart. That just means we're taken out of one place for one purpose and put into another place for another purpose.
Better purpose.
Yeah, I mean, Paul says in the sixth chapter of Galatians, far be it for me to boast except in the cross of Christ, mm-hmm. through which I'm crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're dead to that. Paul says plainly, you're just dead to it. We're set apart from it in order to be set apart to God.
To God, that's right.
And, you know, all the hairstyles, all the long white shirts and black ties, and, oh boy, you should see Nan's eyes rolling over here.
I was raised in that school.
I know you
about?
Were. I know you were. All those below-the-knee-length skirts and... high button, you know, and you know, bun hairdos.
Bun hair,
and I'm not, listeners, if any of you are in that, I am not putting it down. I'm just saying that's not necessarily sanctification, because I've known people who had all the outward stuff,
mm-hmm.
and yet they were no more sanctified than I was.
Well, and I mean, some people, you know, like you say, they try to put all that on the outside, and they're trying to be sanctified on the outside, but guess who starts the gossip in the church? Many times the people like that. I can say that because I was raised in that. You know?
Okay.
I mean, you know, and I'm not bashing, because I am proud of where I came from.
Right.
And I'm spent many, many years in that particular denomination, so I'm not bashing at all. I'm just making an observation that, you know, You could count on who was going to try to stir up trouble in the church. Well, and sometimes it was people who looked sanctified. They looked sanctified, but they weren't inside.
Saved, sanctified, and solidified.
Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Mm. Well, but I think sometimes it's just easier to rely on those outward appearances. And right here, Paul says, no, I don't think so. He chose you for a purpose. He chose you to be set apart. He didn't, you know, you can do all the externals. And, you know, when Jesus condemned the Pharisees in Matthew 23, he said, you're like whitewashed walls, you know, whitewashed sepulchers. You look real pretty on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and all corruption.
I feel we need to say here also there again, if people feel led of the Lord to dress or wear or don't wear things in a certain manner, they need to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
They need to do that. I mean, I feel kind of like strongly that some people may think we're bashing, and we're not doing that at all. You know, you need to follow what the Lord leads you to do. He's exactly. Not led me to keep my hair long. He's not led me.
So we notice.
You notice the spike is growing out. You know, he's not led me not to wear makeup. But there will be people that he will lead them not to do those things or to do certain things. And they better be obedient to God and do or don't do whatever he's leading them.
Because if you're not, Nan's going to come after you.
Oh, but, yeah. Nan's bad to the bone.
But I agree. I mean, and I think it's all a matter of your motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it because it's expected of them. And that becomes bondage. You know, I can't do this or I have to do this. I mean, and we do that to ourselves way too often because we think, well, I have to spend a half hour in the Word. I have to spend, you know, 29 minutes praying. And if I don't, then I'm a bad person. Well, that's actually just as bad as being in bondage to having to wear long pants and a white shirt or wear your hair up in a bun. It's just as bad. And we do that to ourselves where we think, oh, I'm not sanctified because I didn't read the Bible for 30 minutes today. And no, that's not what this is talking about here. This is talking about a heart, a matter of the heart. If I'm set apart for God, I can spend 5 minutes, 5 hours in the Word, and it's going to be the same thing. If I'm not set apart for God, even 5 minutes in the Word is going to seem like 5 hours.
Well, you know, that reminds me. I was in counseling with Pastor and Connie, and I was off work for a couple months. And I'm very list-oriented, you know, and I enjoy completing tasks. That is just the way that I am. In fact, I'm trying to work on enjoying the journey more because I just like completed tasks. And I came up with this great idea. So I created this fantastic little spreadsheet, and I listed various things, you know, reading the Bible, praying, working on my poem book, and various other things that, you know, and I was so proud of myself that I was going to do X amount of minutes in each one of them. And so I was just so excited about it, you know? So I bring it into Pastor and Connie and show them, you know, what I've been doing, and they just kind of, you know, okay, you know? And then, you know, they're like, they didn't assign that to me. That was something I came up on my own. So then later, I was in prayer, and because I was feeling guilty because I wasn't accomplishing the amount of time with each of the items every day, and I was running a deficit. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "He said, I didn't tell you to make that table. You decided to make that table on your own. I didn't tell you to do that. I just want you to spend time with me. You don't have to clock it. You don't have to say, well, this amount of time. Spend time with me. And you will enjoy spending that time with me much more so than try to punch a clock, which is what I was doing, you know? And so I came back into counseling with Pastor and Connie, and I said, guess what God said? And they just got a chuckle, you know? But,
They probably already knew what God was going to say.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. But, I mean, you know, we have to be careful not to do. I mean, I saw myself vividly doing that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And God said, And, you know, we just, I mean, sometimes you're going to spend more time in the Word than others. But the important thing is to spend time in the Word.
Right.
Read the prayers like you're teaching us today. Read the prayers. Pray those prayers.
It's it's important that we do it because we want to, mm-hmm. rather than because I think I have to.
Right.
You know,
there's no bondage in Christ Jesus.
Right, exactly. And
any kind.
Right, and we tend to make prayer and Bible reading and, you know, things like that. Yes, we ought to read the Bible. Yes, we do need to pray. Yes, we do need to assemble together. Those are, you know, those are all mm-hmm. commands that we have. But let's, you know, if we can't, if, you know, God didn't say time limit, mm-hmm. you know, you have to spend X amount of time and it, or you have to read so much of the word. I mean, I tend to read large chunks, you know, mm-hmm. I'll read out of the devotional Jesus Calling. They have a couple of small things and I read the American Bible Society, whatever their portion is. And then I do one on my own. And that's what works for me. Some people, they'll read two verses, and that's what
works for them. Yeah,
exactly, because it's those two verses for that day that they need to mm-hmm. read.
Exactly.
And those are the two that are going to stick with them. You know, it's whatever, what works, and this is what Nan talked about at the nursing home. What works for Nan may not work for you, Nathan, and may not work for me. And certainly what works for me may not work for the other two of you. You know, as far as, you know, as far as prayer and Bible study and all that. So,
true.
Yeah, well, you know, and that again, but he chose us. And I think it's important there. Look at who did the choosing.
Mm-hmm.
He chose us individually for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, the very end of that verse, and I know the English Standard, New American Standard, a few others, have the last two words of that verse in a separate sentence. So it reads at the very end of verse 4, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. Now, Nan, I'm going to have you just a minute read part of that out of the King James.
So
get yourself ready there.
Okay.
But I like that. You know, in love, he predestined us for what? For harassment?
No.
For denial? For mm-hmm. abuse? No. What did he predestine us for?
Celebrating.
But right here it says adoption.
Adoption. Right.
He's predestined us for adoption as his children. So not only did he pick us out, but in Jesus, we're predestined to be adopted. Ooh.
Mm-mm.
You know, again, it goes back to what we've said before. You, especially for our listeners out there, you don't ever have to think you're less than.
Mm-hmm.
Because right here, Jesus said that we are predestined for adoption as God's sons and daughters. I mean, that's just incredible to think that God wants somebody like me as his son.
Somebody like me.
Yeah, and think, if those of us who may not have had a healthy relationship with our father, with our, you know, or maybe we didn't even know our father, something like that. That's those, you know, I had to get this verse down because we have to stop comparing our Heavenly Father with whatever we grew up with here on earth.
That's true.
Because there's no comparison. Right here it says, we're predestined. I mean, these verses show us how much the Father loves us.
That's right, yes, how much he loves us.
Amen. Amen. So, Nan, I'd like for you to read, actually, verse 6 from the King James Version.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved.
Ooh, I love that. Out of King James. The praise of the glory of his grace, mm-hmm. by which he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Not rejected, but accepted. I love that from the King James. We're not rejected.
And he has made us accepted.
Exactly.
That we did. Nothing that we had to do.
Exactly. And I mean, of course, that Ephesians chapter 2. you know, it's nothing we can do. In Jesus, he hath made us accepted. You know, I don't ever have to say, oh, God doesn't like me, God's rejecting me, God, you know, whatever, because right here it says that I'm accepted in Jesus. And it doesn't matter what any of us have done or didn't do, if we've gotten mad at God, you know, believe me, been there, done that, God's big enough to take my anger, you know. And the great thing is he didn't swat me like a fly, you know.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, because I got really mad at, there was a point period in my life when I was really angry at God. And, but, you know, love won.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking I was very angry at God about something that happened in church that I will not expound on. But it was really, really bad. And I can remember laying prostrate across my bed crying, why God? Why God? Why this? You know, and I was very angry at him for allowing to happen what happened. Period. You know, but in time, you know, I was able to come back around, if you will, you know, and he did not make that happen what happened, you know, and so I was back in love with God again.
Yeah. Well, we blame God a lot. We blame God for a lot of the negative things that happen to ourselves.
Right.
And when situations are that, first of all, we live in a world that's dominated by Satan.
Right. We live in a fallen world. And
so things happen.
Right. Right.
And, you know, which may or may not be God, you know. Now, times the things we blame God for, he's not responsible for.
Right. Well, and, you know, sometimes it's things that happen to us are our own choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we kind of went into that last Wednesday at Bible study. You know, if God's sovereign, why couldn't he just stop this from happening? And, you know, the point
is free will.
Exactly. And I explained the Bible study, and you remember this, Nan, I said, God's biggest risk of eternity was in giving Adam and Eve and all of us free will.
Yes.
You know, he took the biggest chance of all, and mm-hmm. it's not like he didn't know what was going to happen, because I'm sure God knew what was going to, I know he did. I know he knew from eternity past what was going to happen in the garden with Adam and Eve.
Of course he did.
But he took a huge chance by giving us free will. And here, so we can freely choose to believe what God says about us. We can freely choose to believe I'm accepted in the Beloved. We can choose to believe that God has picked me out, chosen me for himself, or we can choose to reject those thoughts.
Mm-hmm. But we can choose to believe that God loves us.
Right.
Period. Right.
And it's just,
it's up to us.
Right, and you know, it kind of seems like that should be a no-brainer. However, yeah. You know, sometimes we don't want to give all that, you know, give that over to God. But
no.
As we're going to find out in our next song, which is You Are Good by Israel Houghton and New Breed, you know, God is good. Yeah. No two ways about it. God is good, and he proves that to us by giving us his son.
Come on, clap your hands and shout if you believe it tonight. Come on, everybody.
Your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
I love that song.
Thought I was going to have to keep you down off the table dancing.
I know. I was about to get him start dancing on that one.
That was a great song.
It is. That is a great song.
It's powerful.
But it's true. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a true song. That's right.
Amen. I mean, God is good. And I think, and I think we think, okay, he's not good, or, you know, he's just waiting to hit me in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes if we go our own way, God may use things to get our attention.
Well, you know, people say that all the time. You know, in the church I grew up in, it was often said that God would swat us upside the head to get our attention, or he would allow sickness or disease or something bad to happen to me to get my attention. And that was, you know, that just didn't sound good. That didn't sound good to me.
No, and I don't think he does use sickness. I mean, I think...
No, he doesn't.
By maybe choices we make, we may bring that on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I do think God will put people in our lives that are going to get our attention. Or, you know, I know for me, it was just a hunger when I fell away for a while. Mm-hmm. When I was mad at God, it was a hunger. And
you miss him.
Yeah. Because I'd been in relationship with God for, at that point, about 12 years, and
oh my goodness.
And you know, I walked away for a little while. You know, some things happened. I have a feeling probably what happened with Nan.
Mm-hmm.
I walked away, and I didn't want anything to do with God because I'd set up this idea of what he was supposed to do in me and for me, and that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Found out I don't think that was supposed to happen anyway. So
it was, you know, supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, praise God. But, yeah. You know, he was there. He kept drawing me back little by little. You know, you can, not like you can run, but you can't hide. So,
right, exactly.
You know, and then,
and, well, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, And I think once you've tasted that goodness, even though you walk away from it, even though you run away from it, you can't run forever. Because there's a part of you that has tasted that, mm-hmm. and you know it's there. And you know it's there. So it's like the prodigal son, you know?
Right, right.
Well, you know, at the beginning of when I was in counseling with Connie and Pastor, you know, God has given me the gift of writing poetry. And a lot of the poems were on the counseling and whatever was going on, which will eventually be in book form that I'm working on. But it's interesting that in many of those poems were straight for me. Or they could be for other people, but they were for me. And we went through a whole series of Jonah days. Remember that? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
they used to call me Jonah.
Nan Asher Jonah.
That's right. And, you know, and I quit doing that after a long while. You know, and I'm not Jonah anymore. But, you know, the one thing he reminded me is where you go, I'm there. I'm everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to run. Well, you're going to run right into me. You know, I'm there, you know, and he said that to me on numerous occasions in poems, you know.
And I think of David in Psalm 139, you know, where can I go to flee from your spirit? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're right. You can't escape. And for some people, that's comforting. I suppose for others, it might be kind of frightening. You know, but especially if God's put a call in your life,
right?
You
yes.
know, so
right.
Okay. Getting back now to Ephesians in verse 7, it says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins." Ooh, it doesn't get any better. You know, it doesn't get much better than that. According to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight.
Mm.
So in Him, again, this is another promise you can take to the bank. In Him, we have redemption. Okay, and what does it mean to be redeemed?
To be bought.
Okay, bought back. Yeah.
Bought back.
Yeah.
Saved from where you are.
Right, right. So it's being bought back. It's being bought. I think Paul says in Corinthians, bought. We were bought for a price. We were bought, and usually when you talk about redeeming something, it would be one of two things. Under the Old Testament law, you would redeem like the firstborn of your flock, or the firstborn of the fruit of your field, your firstborn son. Your firstborn child, you'd have to redeem, buy it back basically from God.
Mm.
Okay? And of course, under slavery, you know, which is another thing that Paul would have been thinking about, you redeem a slave, you free a slave by redeeming them. You buy them from their former master.
Mm.
And that's what Jesus did. That's all this wrapped up in redemption stuff is we were bought from our former master, who was?
Satan.
And now we serve a new master who is?
Yeah,
Jesus. Yeah. I mean, it's all, you know, we are redeemed by His
blood.
There's nothing more precious than the blood of Jesus. That's why Paul says you were bought with a price. That price was the blood of Jesus, the Messiah. No greater price. There can't be. So we're redeemed by His blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. And what's it say in Psalm 103 about what happens when God forgives our sins?
He throws them as far as the east is from the west.
Right.
Which has no ending.
Right. You can keep going east and never get west. And you can keep going west and never get east. Now, you can go north till you can't go north anymore. Because then you're headed back south. And you can go south till you can't go south anymore, because then you're going to be headed back north. But you can go east until forever.
King comes.
Yeah, and you're never going to find the end of it.
Uh-huh.
which is really, I mean, that's how far God has removed our transgressions from us. You know, that's infinite. Okay, so when Satan comes up to you and says, well, Nathan, do you remember in 1975 when you did this? And you can say, no, thank you, that's under the blood. It, mm-hmm. You know, in God's eyes, it never happened.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's that far away. It's under the blood. It never happened. And that's what's important.
And
amen. Amen. And it says, according to the riches of his grace, which he dribbled upon us, which he doled out in teaspoonfuls to us. What does it say there? That he lavished upon us. It's like getting deluge, and we've been getting some deluges here in the Tampa Bay area, rain-wise. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a good one over by where we live yesterday evening. It just poured, and, you know, God lavished that rain upon us for a brief period of time. But that's kind of how that's kind of how I look at this verse. He lavished his grace upon us. He didn't just sprinkle it on us. He didn't just dip our feet in it. He lavished it on us. I mean, it's just like, I just look at it as just standing under a, not even a shower, because that's not, but like standing under a waterfall of grace and having this grace just be lavished on me. And I like this. He did it in stupidity and without understanding, right?
No.
No, he did it in wisdom and insight. He lavished upon us, and to me, I've looked at that and I've thought that means this was purposeful. You know, this was with all wisdom and insight. He purposely lavished his grace on me. It's not haphazard. He's just not out there slinging grace around. This was purposeful, because he did it in wisdom and insight. Grace was given to us for a purpose. You know, God, you know, he gave us grace in wisdom and in insight. And that's just cool, because it shows that there's a purpose, there's a plan. God just didn't throw grace around just because he's merciful, but he did it with a purpose, with a plan in mind. There was forethought to this. You know, he thought about this.
And aren't we glad he did?
Oh, amen. Amen. Because it says, you know, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. So he's making known to us a mystery here, something that was hidden in the past. It's now being revealed according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. Here comes the mystery. To unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Basically, you know, he's talking about to restore all things. I like what it says in the Amplified for verse 10. He planned for the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages to unify all things and head them up and consummate them in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth. So that's the whole plan, you know, is to bring all things together in Jesus, to kind of sum all things back up in relation to Jesus. And that is one incredible plan.
That's an incredible plan. Oh. it's hard for us to comprehend, actually. How do you wrap your mind around that?
Right. Right, and it's, and no, seriously, I agree, because, you know, we can look at this, to unite all things in him, things in heaven, and things on earth. That's everything.
That's everything.
Everything.
All things.
Yeah, and they'll be united in Jesus. And that's, you know, that's been God's plan. That's been God's plan to kind of recapture, as it were, everything in Jesus. Everything that fell away in the fall when Adam and Eve sinned, God in Jesus wants to bring all that back, especially us. You know, we know there'll be a new heavens and new earth. Please note, there will be no new hell. That's going to be the same old hell. But there will be a new heavens and new earth. And we get to inhabit that. You know, because by that time, we will have our new bodies. You know, that's part of all that is, you know, God says, behold, I make all things new. That's that summing up, uniting all things in Jesus is making all things new. Because Jesus was the first of a new race of humans, basically. Okay? Those of us who believe are also now new. Eventually, that newness is going to spread to the world, to the universe. New heavens, new earth. For the old have passed away. Everything is summed up in Jesus. And it's kind of interesting to note that means everything relates to Jesus. Everything that happens, from the minutest thing in my life to the biggest thing on the political, you know, on the political scene, it relates to Jesus.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of freaky. You know. But, you know, because
it just blows my mind.
Yeah, because well, you know, you've heard it. I remember in Josh McDowell, who's written a number of books on Christianity, apologetic works, and I think he was quoting this from another source, but he said history is really his story.
That's right.
Everything before Jesus came pointed to Jesus. It was to make, as John the Baptist and Isaiah the prophet said, to prepare the way of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Everything from the rise and fall of the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, and the Greeks, up to the time of Rome. All that fit into a plan to prepare the way for Jesus. And since he was born, everything is now working its way to prepare for his second coming.
Yep.
You know, so everything will be united. So, yeah, I know. It's incredible. So,
you know, you were talking about everything preparing for his coming. Yeah, obviously, is it time for station identification?
Just about.
Okay. Well, I can wait.
Okay. We'll take station ID right now. We'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
I like that. That's emphatic. Yeah. Listen.
Hearing that before.
Okay, that was to the point. Okay, Nan, you had a comment before the break.
Yes.
Well, before Nan's comment, I'm going to have to say, I do.
Oh, okay.
Aww.
Nathan, you're leaving us before your song.
I'm going to be listening in.
Okay.
But I'm going to say I'll be to you.
All right. I hear Sean in the background there.
What does he say?
The phone number for what?
For Palm Harbor.
Huh?
What in Palm Harbor?
Not Palm Harbor. Palm Gardens.
Oh. Yeah, can I call you afterwards?
Yeah, you can call
me
afterwards.
All right.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right.
We love you, Nathan.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Nan, you had a comment.
You know, what was the movies back in the 70s? One of them, there was a whole series of them, in the Left Behind series. Wasn't there a series?
Not in the 70s. Those would have been the Mark of the Beast series.
Okay.
Not Left. Yeah, I know what you're talking about because I watched them too.
Ed's in that it, you know, was like news reporters and such terrible things are happening and, you know, earthquakes and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I was sitting here, I'm just watching all that's happening on TV and it's like, wow, you know, we are in the end times. You know, and we really, it's revived within me the reality and the realization that I need to be about my father's business.
It says the first one was published in 95.
Okay, the first one Left Behind.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay.
But are you thinking of those ones, those movies from the 70s?
Yes, I'm thinking of the movies from the 70s.
Yeah. The Mark, Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
I can't.
Because we watched those when I was in college.
Okay, yeah. So, but, you know, I think, you know, we need to be mindful of where, you know, what are we doing? For, like, you know, y'all sometimes say, you know, not just, when you get saved, it's not just fire insurance. That's it.
Right.
You know, and there's more to it than that.
Well, and that's what we, that's what we've been talking about here. There's so much more to salvation than just fire insurance and just getting a get out of hell free card.
Right.
You know, there's so much more to it, and that's what we've been talking about here, and there's so much more, you know, to go. And I told you, we are even going to get out of chapter one today.
No, we're not.
But I do want to go to our next song, which is one that Nathan wrote, Darkness Has No Power Over Me.
Set free, darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and praise the Lord. I've been set free, darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and praise the Lord. Even in my trials, I can rejoice. With praises to my King, I lift my voice. For the Son of God has come and set me free. Darkness has no power over me. I've been set free. I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've been set free.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
You can know the joy of victory. By our faith, our vision we can see.
To lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've been set free.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've made my choice.
I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've made my choice.
I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
Yeah, I just want to continue on. We've been talking about Ephesians, and at the church, we've been studying the book of Ephesians for many, many weeks, and Paul writes a couple of really great prayers in here. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer for the church. There's also a prayer in chapter 3 for the Ephesian church. Just full, and we spent the whole first hour just going over 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about 7 verses so far, just because they're so full of blessings and information, and so full of meat. You know, there's so much meat in here, and I like, we're ready to kind of to start verse 11, which is you know, which talks about some other things that we have in God. So I want to go to our next song, which would be, oh, wait a minute. Nope, never mind. We just did that. So I got a little confused there. But in verse 11, it talks about, you know, in him, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified because this brings out the whole thing. In him, we were made God's heritage, God's portion, and we obtained an inheritance. Okay, so not only are we God's portion, think about that. Under the Old Testament, God's portion were the Levites. Okay, that was his portion. The tribe of Levi was God's portion. So not only that, we're not only his portion, we are, you know, we've obtained an inheritance. We're not only his heritage, we've obtained an inheritance, which means, again, that kind of goes back to that adopted thing. Okay, sometimes we think like adopted kids, they kind of get the short end of the stick, you know, like they wouldn't be in the full inheritance. Mm-hmm. And yet right here it says, we have obtained an inheritance. Okay, we're not stepkids. God has no stepchildren.
There you go.
God has no one that he looks at and says, you don't have the same rights as Nan because you're not really my full son or daughter. No, we're adopted fully, and we have a full inheritance. It says, for we have been foreordained, chosen, and appointed beforehand in accordance with his purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will. Okay, so he works out everything. Okay, we're foreordained. Again, that goes back, this is a theme throughout this entire chapter. God chose us. He picked us out. He picked us out for himself. We're foreordained in accordance with his purpose. It's no accident that we feel the call of God, that we get saved, that we walk with God. That is no accident. That's not some fluke that just happened, like, oh, hey, I stumbled on God. How about that? You know, this has been planned for a long time. It's foreordained. It's planned. And I love this. Who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will. Who works out everything, all things, according to the counsel of his will. Nothing escapes God's attention. Everything works. And what's one of Pastor's favorite verses? Romans 8:28.
I know that all things, am I right? I know all things work together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose.
Exactly. And who is that? Us. According to Ephesians 1, it's us. We're called according to his purpose. It says so right here again. Look at the connection. Oh, I just love that word. This scripture connects with this scripture, right. And it just builds up an arsenal of scripture. But you know, he worked out all things for us according to the counsel of his will. It's not a mistake that we're saved. God worked it out, and you know, you think, I look at my life, and I talked about this a little bit in church this morning. God would put things in my life, you know. I always enjoyed church. I always liked science fiction. And God brought those two together because when I was in high school, lo, those many years ago, there was a book, and this is really going to date me. I think it's probably its first printing, the book 666 by Salem Kerbin.
I remember that book.
And that the friend of mine that I'd actually mentioned in church this morning, went to the little Assembly of God church, got me to read that, got me to read the book 1000 by Salem Kerbin about the millennium, got me to read The Late Great Planet Earth. Okay, and that was why I had to have that Living Bible back then, because I wanted to make sure these guys weren't just talking off the top of their heads.
Okay.
So, you know, God used that because that just fascinated me. And then I realized, I started going through the other prophecies about Jesus' first coming. And so he was using that. Then, of course, I mentioned, you know, God had, I went to a really liberal denomination. We just happened to get a pretty conservative, I believe, born-again, Bible-believing minister just before I went to college. And he suggested I get involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, you know, and that was the last thing. I was going to go to college. I was going to do my schoolwork, but I was going to have a good time. Jesus was about the last thing on my mind. So I get to my residence hall, come to find out one of the leaders of Campus Crusade for Christ lived on my floor. he was good friends with our student staff, and there was also another guy who was in this. They were doing this Bible study, and they asked me if I wanted to join. And I thought, well, what have I got to lose? Aha. Little did I know it'd be the biggest revolution in my life. So I go to this Bible study because, you know, I grew up in church. I kind of knew the Bible. I knew the hymns and all that. You know, I got saved every time I went to church camp.
Oh, you did that too?
Yeah, every single year I walked the sawdust trail and got saved again and again and again. And I think if I'd been taught right, if I'd been taught what had happened the first time I got saved, I mean, I would have. I'm not saying I lost my salvation. I don't know. You know, it doesn't matter at this point. Because I'm saved now. But I figure I probably could have been a lot further along, like, you know, 8 years, you know, if somebody just taught me.
Inside my Bible that was a teenage, I don't want to say childhood, teenagehood Bible that my parents gave me when I was 10. On the inside, you know, the cover, got saved, you know, received the Holy Ghost. Really got saved. I can remember an upper and cup. Kaplan really got saved, you know, and in my very naive yet uninformed position that I was in, I thought I was getting saved all those times.
Right. Well, and I did the same thing. So, you know, here I am at college, and here I am, and you have to know, Campus Crusade for Christ, a lot of emphasis on witnessing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought I was saved. They thought I was saved. So I'm out witnessing. I'm telling people about Jesus, and I'm not even sure about my own salvation at this point. So we had Bible study, and it was on the parable of the sower and the seeds. And, you know, I looked at that, and I realized, okay, I'm like not really all good ground. I got some weeds, got some rocks. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, the next time I was going out with Roger to go witnessing, and now this is at noon in a men's residence hall. In college, normally, you know, there's people everywhere. It was like a ghost town. We could not find a single person to go talk to about Jesus. So Roger, we go up to the study hall, and he, you know, asked me, he said, well, how are you doing? And I said, well, you know, I'm not sure. And I talked to him about being rocky ground, being weedy ground, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, he said, well, do you want to let's make it official then? So I prayed the prayer, and I asked Jesus into my heart. Really, this time I really got saved.
You really got saved.
But I'm serious. I mean, that's and in my Bibles, I have one of my old Bibles from a long time ago, and I do have born again.
Yep.
October 30th, 1973. Oh, yeah. Baptized in water, March 17, 1974. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, October 27th, 1974. So, you know, that's the date I actually count as my actual date. But I'm just saying, God did, you know, he moved things according to the counsel of his will. He put me on the fourth floor of this residence hall with the leader of Campus Crusade for Christ. He put me in a position where there was not a soul to be found in this residence hall the day I needed to come to him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, he kind of gently brought me to that point where I would surrender. And I did. And like I said, things never been the same since.
That was October 30th, right?
Mm-hmm. October 30th, 1973.
And you have your 40-year...
I have my 40-year birthday. I'm only 40. I'm younger than Pastor. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha. I hope she's listening or hears this later. Did you hear Pastor what he's saying about you?
but you know, I look at that and I think, you know, God, and I explained this morning in church about how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The same thing. God just put things there. And, you know, we almost trip over the things God puts on our path. You know, the little things to get our attention, to bring us to himself. We sometimes trip over them. We sometimes try and run away from them. You know, but God works out all these things according to, you know, I like what it says in Amplified, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his own will. There's a design. There's a plan. You know, first of all, we didn't get saved haphazardly. Mm-hmm. We don't live saved haphazardly. There's a plan for us. You know, there's a plan. And I just want our listeners to understand, God loves you. And I'm just quoting right out of the four spiritual laws. God loves you. And right here, he has a wonderful plan for your life. He's got something planned out for each one of us. If we just submit and surrender to him, I'm getting blessed over here. He's got something so wonderful planned out for us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, and I know we look at our lives sometimes as just a mess, a big old mess. And I think of a story that Corey Ten Boom had talked about how, you know, we look at the bottom side of the tapestry, mm-hmm. where all the knots and the threads are hanging and all that, and all the knots and the threads and all that. We don't see it. God sees the other side, mm-hmm. of the tapestry with the beautiful artwork on it. And that's, you know, that's the design. Sometimes we always see the backside, mm-hmm. of it. We need to remember there's a front side, and God has worked all this together, mm-hmm. to make a beautiful, beautiful picture.
I'm glad he has.
I am too.
You know, it kind of reminds me, I do what I call rescue quilts out of thrift stores. And I'll go to thrift stores and I'll look for quilts. And I'll get like the best ones, you know, that haven't been obviously worn the way it'll knot up or whatever. And I will rescue these, wash them, let them hang on the line and dry. And then they're to be designated to give to whoever, whatever. Sometimes I find a nice quilt, and not quilt.
Afghan.
My mom's doing quilts. Afghan. And on the underside, I know which is the underside because I see some of where they got knotted off, and then you thread it through, you know, so that it doesn't show, but then it came undone and whatever, you know. But, on the other side, I don't see any of that. Mm-hmm. On the other side, it's just beautiful piece of work that someone put an awful lot of time. There you go. That goes with God. That someone put an awful lot of time into that. People don't understand the value of those Afghans, and which is why I rescued them out so that they can go places and make people happy. But that's the way God is. He puts in a lot of time into us, making that tapestry. Making that tapestry, you know. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Exactly. And that actually goes with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship. Mm-hmm. The word there in Greek is poema. We are his poem. We're his masterpiece, is what it literally means. We're God's masterpiece. So, you know, he's putting us together incredibly well for a purpose, for a design. So I want to go to our next song, We Won't Be Shaken, by Building 429.
This world has nothing for me. This life is not my own. I know you go before me, and I am not alone. This mountain rises higher, the way seems so unclear, but I know that you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you. Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain, oh, we won't be shaken, no. will trust in you, and we won't be shaken. We will trust in you, we will not be moved. We will trust in you, yeah, we won't be shaken. We will trust in you.
Oh, praise God. We won't be shaken. That's one of the things we're talking about today with all these promises. We don't have to be shaken. We don't have to lose our footing, because we know, you know, we're learning through these scriptures what we have in Jesus, who we are in Jesus. And, you know, Paul goes on to say here that, you know, the reason he does this is so that we who first hoped in Christ, in Messiah, might be for the praise of his glory. I mean, there's our purpose. We can be for the praise of his glory. We who are his workmanship, his tapestry, his masterpiece, we can be for the praise of his glory. And then he also says, you know, in verse 13, in him, again, the magic words there, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, with the promised Holy Spirit. So in him, when we heard the word and believed it, okay, there's kind of the catch to this one. Okay, you have to hear the word of truth, which is the gospel, and then you believe it, and we're sealed with him by the Holy Spirit. And that word, you know, to seal there means that, you know, it's like you put your, in ancient times, you do a wax seal. It's kind of like the seven seals in the book of Revelation. That would be wax seals that the king or whoever, the important person, would stamp their imprint in. Usually it's from a ring or sometimes a big round sort of thing that's got your design inside, like your emblem. They put that in the wax, and, you know, so it was sealed. And in the same way, we're sealed in the Holy Spirit. It's like God puts this big old blob of wax on our foreheads and stamps it that we're his property. And we're sealed now with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're God's property.
And we're so glad.
And we are so, amen, because it's like, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee, the down payment, if you will, of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit is given to us as a down payment. Like when you're going to go buy a car, you all know, or a house, you put a down payment down. You pay 10%. Okay? Well, praise God, our 10% down payment for the Holy Spirit is infinite. But we get this down payment. What's going on here when we get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit? This is just a taste. You know, we sang today at the nursing home, Blessed Assurance. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's what this is talking about. That's what Paul's talking about here. This is just a foretaste of glory. This is just a foretaste, the down payment of what's going to be our inheritance. You know, the good things that are going on now, nothing compared to what's going to happen in the future. You know, that's what's so cool, because, you know, We get the down payment, the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, and we see miracles, we see healings, we see deliverances, we see salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, we see all these good things happening. We see, you know, how we go out anointed and work good in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And that's just the beginning. You know, when you know, when Jesus returns, you know, as the song says, I can only imagine what that day will be. You know, I can only imagine, because praise God, we got it down here now. Mm-hmm. We got the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We see God moving, and that's just the start. That's just the beginning. Ooh. Blessed. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm like way blessed at this point. I do want to take just a brief second here, because I neglected to mention it earlier, about our prayer ministry. We Beacon of Hope, we do have a prayer ministry, and you can send those prayers to prayers at bohmglobal.com. And what happens is you send your prayer requests in, and usually it's either myself or Carol up in Georgia. We'll pick them up. We'll read them, actually write a prayer to go with them, and send them out to our prayer team. We do that because that gives us a unified focus for the prayers. So we're not kind of all, you know, we're all praying the same thing, basically, because we believe that, like Jesus said, if any of two of you agree as touching any one thing, it will be done for you. So we have a whole prayer team believing for you. So if you have a request, please send it to us. We will make sure that it goes out, that we get it prayed for. The only thing we would ask is that when, not if, but when God answers your prayer, let us know. You know, I like to keep track of folks whose prayers have been answered, because I think that's important. You know, we need to know, you know, we know that God moves. We've seen it. We've seen God work miracles mm-hmm. in people's lives, you know, last year, this year. We've seen great things happen. So we're believing God for this. So if you have any need, please, like I said, send it to prayers at bohmglobal.com. Amen.
Well, I'd say also, you know, with giving back the praise report, it encourages those people who are on the prayer team, mm-hmm. you know.
So we know what's going on.
Right. I had something happen, and I actually did not send it to the prayer team, but I called two people and I let them know it was work-related. At that moment, at that time, I was going over the edge dealing with it. And so I did. I called both those people back to say prayer has answered. After they started praying, and I was still praying, and they started praying, it just, the anxiety, everything was going on, just literally left me. Praise that God. Attack just left me. But I called them back to let them know. Guess what? Yes, you know. And that is just is great to hear all the answers. You know, we love to hear the answers.
Amen. And I do save those. So I have a list of answers.
Oh, fantastic.
Answered prayers. So, okay. Yeah. Amen. So Paul goes on to say, and this is the second prayer. This is his prayer for the first prayer for the Ephesian church, starting in verse 15. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. So here's Paul in prison, where he could just be sitting there, you know, sulking and feeling sorry for himself. And he's saying, you know what? I've heard about your love for the saints and your faith. So you know what? When I pray, I just give thanks to you. I mean, I just give thanks to God for you. And he prays that the Lord, or the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that's just the start. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. So he calls, you know, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Okay, and every time I see that, I picture, you know, I've grown up watching the Ten Commandments, so I think of the glory cloud. I picture, you know, from the Ten Commandments, that, you know, pillar of fire and such, that he would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's an important thing to pray for, you know, and this is a prayer I try and pray as often as I can. But do you need wisdom? Do you need revelation? You know, there's that third day song. Should have had Connie put on here, Give Me Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, we all need wisdom. We all need revelation. And Paul says, you know, I'm praying that God would give you this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And the Greek word there for knowledge is not just the normal Greek word, the plain, I don't want to say plain, but, you know, the basic Greek word for knowledge, which is gnosis. This word is epignosis, which means a special kind of knowledge, an intimate, accurate knowledge. There's an intimacy about this knowledge. It's intimate. It's deep. It's true knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Okay? You know, sometimes we talk about having darkened hearts. And Paul says, you know what? Your heart needs to be enlightened. The light of God needs to invade your heart. And he says, so that you will know what the hope is to what he's called you. What hope have we been called to, Nan?
The hope that we go to heaven?
Well, you're close. About the blessed hope.
The blessed hope, yes. Yeah,
from Titus, from the book of Titus. Yes. When Paul talks about, you know, the blessed hope, the coming of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I've got that third day song if you want it, by the way.
Oh, I might.
He's so good.
I know.
Cedric's great.
Cedric gets a bell for
absolutely.
That. Actually, yes. Would you play that right now, and then we'll play the Matthew West song toward the end here? Okay, that'd be great. Thank you, Cedric.
My life is leading me down the road that's so uncertain. Now I am left alone, and I am broken. Trying to find my way, trying to find the faith that's gone. This time I know that you are holding all the answers, but I'm tired of losing hope and taking chances on the roads that never seem to be the ones that bring. Without you, I've got nothing without you.
Oh, yeah. That fits in really well. Thank you, Cedric. Paul says here that, you know, praise that the Ephesians would receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the true knowledge of God, and having the eyes of their hearts enlightened, they would know what is the hope that God's called them to, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Okay, did you ever think of yourself as a glorious inheritance, Nan?
No.
But you are.
Isn't that remarkable?
I know. It's kind of
little
stunning.
Me.
I know. Well, yeah, it's kind of stunning. You know, we can think of getting an inheritance maybe from God. But here it says, we are, you know, we the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, wow. We get a glorious inheritance. We're part of that glorious inheritance, and we get to inherit it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, I don't know any real life situations like this, but the movies. And on the movies, how someone influential passes away and has lots of stuff to be given out, you know, as an inheritance to people, you know, and the eagerness of the people as they're sitting there with the attorney at the table and he's reading the will and letting everybody know what they're getting, you know? And we can sit with that same expectancy because we know what we're getting. We're getting it far beyond anything that we had here, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know,
if we had gotten to chapter 3, which obviously it being 20 minutes to 5, we're not going to do that. But there's that scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. In fact, I'll just read it because it fits with what Nan said. Starting with verse 20, now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we dare ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Yeah, God is able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. I think that's how the King James maybe puts it. More than we dare ask or imagine.
Yes.
You know, I can imagine a lot, okay? But God will work far more than that. Far more than that. And, you know, this fits in with right where we're at in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, talks about the riches of his inheritance in the saints and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Okay, not just a little power, okay? Immeasurable power. And, you know, you think a lot of power, say, in a 100 megaton nuclear weapon. Okay, that's 100 million pounds of dynamite. Okay? This is immeasurable greatness of his power. The power of Almighty God is at our disposal. And if that doesn't bless your socks off, I don't know what will. The power of, let me just say that again, the power of Almighty God is that he's put it at our disposal. Okay? How much more incredible can that be with knowing that God's almighty power is resting in us? Mm-hmm. Because he says here, Paul goes on to say, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named. That's the power that's in us. Mm-hmm. That's the power that God has given us, is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The same power that moved him out of that tomb moves in us right now. There is no place, I'm going to start preaching here, Nan.
That's okay, go for it.
There is no place for an inferiority complex, for thinking that we're less than. Mm-hmm. The power of Almighty God, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, is available to us. God has taken a chance and made it available to us. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, he's not going to release that full power without some discipline on our parts. You know, I think of the story Kenneth Copeland told about teaching his son how to shoot a rifle. And his son saw a tarantula. They lived in Texas, a tarantula on the side of the barn. And the son was going to take that shotgun and shoot that tarantula. Well, what was that going to do to the barn? It's going to put a big hole in the side of it.
That's for sure.
I mean, it sure would kill the tarantula, but it's going to put a big hole in the side of the barn. So, you know, and that's, again, this whole thing with Ephesians. Mm-hmm. This is where we learn to sit. And we, you know, wow, I got the power of God, resurrection power of God working in my life. But what's the next section of Ephesians? Walk. That's where we learn how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It doesn't change the fact that we've got the power of God in our hearts. So there's no room for an inferiority complex, no room for thinking that I'm less than somebody else, because God's power rests within us.
You know, and a lot of people really need prayer in that area, because, you know, there again, as you spoke earlier, some people didn't have a positive relationship with their father. I did. I am blessed. My father's a good man, and he you know, and I've learned a lot from him. He's still alive. Learned a lot from him, and still do. I watched him in action the last couple of days on some things with my mom having hurt herself, and you know, it's just to see that. But I think that many people need to have someone bind with them together in prayer. You know, the Word of God says, you know, where there are two or more gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. And I think, you know, I mean, if someone's feeling less than and feeling that they can't have what you're saying, that they that is available because of whatever, send in a prayer to the prayer line.
Amen.
You know, send in a prayer to the prayer line. You have all a lot of people praying with you on that inferiority issue so that it will go away.
Right. And I do, and this I think is a really good place for this, the last song is Hello, My Name Is by Matthew West. It fits so perfectly into where our conversation was going.
Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time.
song just fits right in with what we were talking about, you know, Child of the One True King. And there's no, you know, there's no place for thinking that we're less than. You know, I'm a child of the one true King. And Paul, that's kind of the message throughout all of Ephesians chapter 1. You know, Paul says we're, you know, in him we're blessed, we're chosen, we're predestined, we're graced, we're redeemed, we've been sealed, we've received power, resurrection power. You know, there's nothing less than about that.
Mm-mm.
We have received all of that. And it's a miracle. It's wonderful that we have received so much from God. And he's given us so very, very much.
Yes, sometimes I just almost stand in awe of how much he has given.
Right.
You know.
Right. Because we did nothing to earn it.
Right.
We did nothing to earn it except say, I believe, like Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when God said, you know what, your kids are going to be like the sand of the sea and the stars mm-hmm. of the sky. He just said, I believe. And he was, you know, he was declared righteous. And it's the same thing with us. You know, throughout this entire book of Ephesians, you know, God just talks about how he loves us and all the things he's done for us. I mean, in chapter 2, we find out we are seated in Christ in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
We died with Christ. Our old man went to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
We were resurrected. And not only that, he didn't leave us here. Our true life is seated with God in heavenly mm-hmm. places.
That's pretty now, powerful when you
think
about it.
That is very powerful because... you know, we've got that going for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God loves us. God loves you. Listen, you know, our dear listeners, God loves you. And no matter what the issue is, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter. If you need a touch from God, if you need salvation, a healing, deliverance, any of those things, God's saying, here I am, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'll do that for you. And he's ready to. He wants to do that for you. He wants to move in your behalf. The scripture says in Isaiah, God longs to be gracious to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, you know, it's not like we have to twist his arm to be gracious to us. He longs to be gracious to us. He longs to move in our behalf. Just as he longs to move in your behalf, our dear listeners, he wants to move for you. He wants to show his love to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do always take a few minutes to pray with our, you know, with our listeners. And I want to do that now because I think it's important to know that God, you know, God cares.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to move in your behalf. God wants you to know that he loves you. So let's take a minute to pray, and then we'll wrap this all up, okay? Well, Father, we give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you, Lord, for all the good gifts that we've seen in Ephesians chapter 1 that you've given to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do ask that you would move in the hearts of our listeners. Father, just move in their hearts. If there are any needs, Father, we just ask that you would meet those needs by the power, Father, that works within us. I pray that those who think they are weak mm-hmm. would realize the power that they have working in them. For those who think they've gone too far from you, let them know that they are redeemed, that in Jesus they have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of their sins. For those who feel bitter and let down and just drained, I pray that they would see the reality in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that they are blessed with every spiritual blessing. For those who feel left out, I pray, Lord God, they would know they're chosen in the Messiah. Lord, we give you thanks and praise. And Father, if there is anyone out there who doesn't know you but wants to, you know, they just repeat this prayer after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. I believe he went to the cross for my sins and that he rose again on the third day. And I believe that through faith in him, my sins are washed away and I am cleansed and made whole. Father, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you, blessed Holy Spirit, to come and fill me and guide me and direct me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you did pray that prayer, know that something miraculous has happened. You've become a child of the one true God, as the song said. You've become a child of God. And I'd really like it, you know, if you did believe, if you did pray that prayer, if you could just, again, you know, email the prayer line, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and just let us know. Just let us know that you did pray that prayer, that you do believe in Jesus. Well, we're always happy to talk with you. If you got any questions, just ask Nan. She asks me questions all the time.
Oh, yes.
I'm more than happy to answer those. You can email me at pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. Questions for Pastor Marcia, who will be back next Sunday. pastormarcia@bohmglobal.com. And again, just any final thoughts, Nan?
I want to read a poem that I wrote earlier in the show.
And I'm shocked. I'm beside myself.
Talking about praying and the prayers that are there. Speak your prayers to me. You will feel so very free. Look to me for all your direction. I will keep you by my protection. Speak your prayers to me. You will win and have victory. I am with you all the time, for I am loving and so very kind. Speak your prayers to me. I am with you. Can't you see? Child, I will lead you in all ways. Look to me for all that you need as you pray. Speak your prayers to me. And I just want to encourage people to pray to God. He hears them and he will answer the prayer.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, we mentioned it before. It's like, good heavens, where did the time go? It's just like time
that 2 hours just flies.
It just flies by. But thank you. I just want to give a thanks to everybody for listening. And, you know, again, we are located at the Ramada Inn on Olmerton in Clearwater, right off the Howard Franklin Bridge on the Pinellas side of the bridge. We'd love to have you join us for services. We have Sunday morning service at 10:30. We also have Wednesday evening Bible study, which starts at 7. But as a prelude to that, we do have prayer meeting that starts at 6:15. Mm-hmm. So where we use the book Prayers That Avail Much. Please feel free to come in and join us. And again, if you have any questions, you can certainly email me through the prayer line, and we'll see you next week. Remember, it's not far to Jesus. Thanks again.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.